All right, we're back with Karen Cataline. Karen Cataline, her last name is spelled with a K, so it's Karen with a K and Cataline with a K. And Karen Cataline is really the wittiest cultural warrior that I know. She has a great website, KarenCataline.com. And if you go there to it, you'll see a lot of articles. She writes short, pithy pieces, and I really like Karen Cataline. It's been a long time since I've had her on the show, so welcome back to the program, Karen.
Well, it's my pleasure and my honor. I've missed talking to you, Bill.
Well, you know what? It's been, I guess, a little over a year since we've had you on. And one thing, of course, we've had the COVID in the middle of all of this, and we've had a lot of COVID material on the radio. But so anyway, what have you been doing all this time?
I've been grousing about the loss of our liberty for over a year now. Actually, much longer than that. I just think and we don't have to go down this road since we've all been living it so insufferably, but I think that the COVID thing, not that it isn't real, and it is, but it was the jump the shark moment when we saw that these folks who think they're our betters really endeavor to control and manipulate us. So that's a pretty disturbing thing. And of course, people who love liberty are watching our Bill of Rights be destroyed, not bit by bit, but really more like a wrecking ball. So these are tough times. Whoever said it's a privilege to live in interesting times, don't you want to slap them?
Well, you know what? I would call them not only interesting, but they're pretty distressing times, really, in some ways. But
oh, definitely. Very, you know, it's testing our mettle, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am. You know, your website is so good. You have a lot of great pieces on there. And I thought maybe it'd just turn you loose. I mean, that's how you do best, you know, turn you loose on the culture. And you have so many good comments about a cross-section of everything. So maybe we can just touch on some of these, but if you'd like. And then if you want to throw something in too. So I noticed one of your latest articles was about erasist, using race to destroy culture. And you might want to explain to us how you mean that.
Well, I don't often make up words, you know, because I actually love the English language, but the left makes up words all the time. And in fact, they define them and then they force us to use them. And then they tell us that we're racist, sexist, bigoted, homophobe, et cetera, et cetera, if we refuse to use them. And they keep, you know, changing the football field, what is that cliche?
The goal line.
Moving the goalposts constantly, contradicting themselves, which they don't care about. So I just came up with this word that seemed to make sense. My dear husband, I call him HW for Happy Warrior, who's actually sitting next to me right now. He showed me an article, and he's not the news junkie I am. Thank God. I'm actually having to cut down. So two in one family is just impossible. You don't want that. But he just happened to show me this article, send it to me, about how numerous parks and rivers and everything, I don't have the article in front of me because we're on the road, are being changed and renamed because they're being called racist. If there's something that says squaw, like Squaw Valley, that's deemed racist. And I said something I've said for years, really. If you want to erase and destroy any portion of America, American culture, and which the left have already told us that's exactly what they intend to do, all you got to do is call it racist.
Yeah.
And so I started playing around with the words and erasist. And in fact, since they're constantly pointing fingers at us, racist, well, we need to point fingers back at them and say, erasist. You're erasing our culture. In fact, isn't there another word they made up, another term they used up called cultural appropriation?
Yeah.
Well, they're appropriating our culture against our will. And of course, they do everything that they accuse us of doing. They are occupying our culture, trying to redefine our culture, rob us of our culture. And that's what they are. They're erasists. Not only that, one more sentence. You got me going here already.
That's good.
Not only that, but they define and decide what censorship. Well, they go around, let's see, they want to put pornography on the public school library shelves of first graders, and we could go there if you want, but meanwhile, and they're calling us the censors, which is ridiculous, wanting not to expose children to pornography, which they seem committed to, is somehow evil. Meanwhile, they're banning Mark Twain and Mr. Potato Head. Go right. Figure. These are the people that are lecturing us about moral, morality. We're living in a cartoon.
Well, you know, I really like it. I like that you're racist. Well, I'm going to use that. I'm going to say, yeah, you're a racist. Because people tell us, you know, you're racist. I said, well, that's a good answer. How about this one? You know, you had some good things to say about Disney. What is your take on what's happening with Disney?
Oh, my God. You know, the whole thing going on with Disney, the fact that, and I'm old enough to remember when Fantasia and, you know, all the great Disney stuff, Disney was synonymous with wholesome family entertainment. And of course, they cannot leave anything alone, the culture destroyers, the erasists, and they want to co-opt and corrupt everything they touch. That's just what we're watching. So I'm of two minds about it, in the sense that, you've got the left trying to destroy and co-opt one of the biggest, most historic, unbelievable names in children's entertainment. And the good news is we're shining a light on this corruption. And that is true of many, many things going on in the country right now. What's heartbreaking is that nothing is sacred to these people. Nothing is sacred. The more we treasure certain principles and values, the more they want to destroy them, corrupt them, and it's more brazen than ever. I mean, it must be said, even though I'm sure the first to say it, Bill, but to have to manufacture a la Jussie Smollett, the bill that the great Ron DeSantis signed, simply not wanting to expose 3 to 6-year-olds to sexual material, and they had to call it the Never Say Gay Bill. Number one, it wasn't about gay anything. They didn't want to expose children to any sexual material, which as a former social worker, just like Marines, once you're a social worker, you're always a social worker. This is sexual abuse, to expose very young children to material that they cannot emotionally comprehend, and it robs them of their innocence. So because they don't want to say, we're for teaching pornography and sexual deviance, which is exactly what it is. I was in the theater. I don't have a problem with adult gay people. I have a problem with co-opting and corrupting children before they're at the age of consent. And that's what they're doing. They're pro-child pornography.
Right.
For child grooming, but they still have to claim victimhood. And apparently, at that highly controversial Academy Awards, which I didn't watch, nobody else did, you had these knee-jerk leftists going, gay, 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 they won't let us say gay. Well, that's like Jussie Smollett claiming victimhood.
Yeah.
It's a total lie and a misappropriation of exactly, they didn't read the bill, they don't care about the bill, they're ignorant.
Yeah.
They've jumped on a bandwagon that's falling off a cliff, and they don't even know what the bandwagon stands for. I'll take a breath.
Well, listen, that's great. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We're talking with Karen Cataline, and you can find her on KarenCataline.com. That's K, Karen, and then Cataline is with a K also, KarenCataline.com. We'll be right back.